Hey guys, Dan here with the Viewing Globe podcast. I'm going to be reviewing every episode of the Power Rangers from Mighty Morphing all the way to Super Ninja Steel right now. By the time I get to Super Ninja Steel, it's probably going to be whatever's after Beast Morphers. We're going to go episode by episode, one at a time. I'm not going to do a bunch of batches, but so let's just start off just with that. I've started recently re-watching the entire series, so I figured now would be a good time to start doing the podcast. I've been thinking about doing it for a while, but now that I'm re-watching, it's going to be a good time to do it. So we're going to start off with the first episode, The Day of the Dumpster. Now, this starts, it's kind of, it's the first episode, but it's kind of confusing because it starts off with the intro that the series has, which is great. It's a perfect intro, but then, like, the first scene of the episode is basically the intro where it's Rita getting out and basically she's explaining that she's been locked away for 10,000 years and now she's going to go conquer Earth. The lines are a little bit different in the episode. When she escapes, she says she's going to destroy whatever the closest planet is. And one of the funny things is when the astronauts are flying up to the moon, it kind of looks like Mars. It doesn't really look like the moon at all, which I understand this is adapted from Sentai, so it's not quite a perfect translation. But then, they're on the moon, the moon with Earth in the background, and there's another moon behind it. So there's two moons in the same picture. I might pop a picture up over here so you guys can see it. I just think it's kind of funny. But again, what I'm probably going to be saying a million times, this is a kid's show. Don't look too far into it. Yes, the fan base has grown up, but when this was first aired, it was a kid's show. They're actually surprised that it was actually so popular with kids. They were aiming for a slightly older audience, but the kids really, really liked it. Plus, they bought all the toys. Anyway, I'm getting too far into it. I haven't even gotten past the first scene yet. Yeah, Squat, the funny part is Squat escapes first, then Rita pops out. So Squat goes over to the dumpster or whatever it is that she's in, and he goes, "Your breath stinks. Do you want a breath mint?" So Rita just completely ignores her. I understand that they were just filling lip flaps, but Rita completely ignores her, even though he just dropped a bomb on this lady, saying that her breath smells. And she just instantly just destroys the dumpster that she was in because she was locked in there for so long and, like, scares away the astronauts. And then it cuts away to the youth center, where you have basically a small intro into all the characters. You have Kimberly doing her gymnastics, Jason doing his karate training with Zach, and Trini kind of doing like her like taekwondo poses or tai chi or something along those lines. In comes Billy, and he's like, "Oh, I'm so excited to start my karate class today." So Jason's gonna be teaching him, and then it goes over, it cuts over to Bulk and Skull, which is they're the best characters in the entire series. So I'm very, very happy that they started coming into the episode. So Bulk goes over with Skull, and they walk up to Trini and Kimberly, and they're like, "Yo, want a double date?" Really, really cheesy pickup lines. Like, you can tell that they just kind of make them slimy. Skull has this like terrible laugh that he has throughout the entire series. It's like a weasel. It's amazing. The two of them are amazing, but yeah, they're the people you're not supposed to like, even though they're most likable characters probably in the entire show. They don't know how to take no for an answer, though, because obviously the girls are like, "No, we're not going on a date with you." So Zach's like, "Leave them alone." They don't listen to Zach. They call him Dancer Boy or whatever's like that. So they are trying to introduce him that he was a dancer first. Then he started learning the karate, so he's going to get that hip-hop keto going in over there that you'll see in later episodes. But anyway, they go to attack the girls. Girls do like a judo throw them onto the mats, just so they have some sort of karate background. And then it cuts to Jason's karate lesson, if I'm correct. No, it cuts over to Rita, and now her in her tower on the moon. Somehow that got constructed in like a matter of like days or something. We don't know how much time passed, but it's pretty freaking quick. She got her her tower up. And one thing I noticed, because she was talking with Goldar. Goldar's voice in this episode is like super duper deep and like more sinister, and not like that goofy voice that you guys probably remember him with. It's like all like, I'm not gonna do a Goldar impression because I'm terrible at voices, but it's almost like like a Skeletor type voice, like that really deep evil, like slithering type voice. And they changed it up later on, I think, to make it more kid friendly. But that's just something I noticed. It's a pilot episode. It's not the original pilot episode, but you know, you're still gonna have a couple of quirks and things along those lines. Anyway, it cuts to Jason teaching his karate class, and he's going over things with Billy. And Billy's a beginner. He's a white belt. And you can tell he's like a nerd because he's got the glasses and the overalls. So he's trying to teach him like a sequence, and Billy's just not really catching on. He's not super duper confident. But Jason tells him to stick with it. You're going to be great. And he asks the class a question. And of course, Billy answers, displaying that how smart he is and how much he can actually remember book stuff, but not so much physical things, which of course would change throughout the series. Basically, they kind of want to instill in that idea that martial arts should be used as a last resort. And they bring it up a couple other episodes in the future, and they actually knock on it again later on in this episode when Zordon's speaking with them. But it goes back to Bulk and Skull now joining the karate class because they just got their ass beat, so might as well go over to a karate class. So like, oh, show us how to beat people up. And Jason's like, oh, I can't do that, but I'm sure you guys can handle yourselves. You know, it's kind of like tricking them. So Jason's kind of showing off with his moves. Bulk's trying to copy him. So Jason does a spinning like roundhouse kick. Bulk tries to do it and, of course, falls down. It was just kind of funny. Anyway, cuts to the end of the class. They're still in the youth center with the juice bar. Ernie comes over and he just has like one line. He's like, hey, who ordered the spinach? And then it cuts. And Earth, camera shake, really, really bad camera shake. They're having an earthquake. And he just goes like out of control. He's like, oh my god, there's going to be an earthquake. Everyone, get cover. And he runs away and he like... Basically, I put that he like slimed them because from Nickelodeon, but it's a running gag in this episode, in the whole series, that Bulk just gets crap just thrown on him all the time. Some sort of liquid or milkshake or something always ends up on him. He gets face planted in a cake, cream pie, something like that. So, of course, they have to instill this in the first episode. He gets some sort of like pink drink on his face, even though it's supposed to be like spinach. I'm assuming like some sort of spinach shake. But it was pink for some reason. Whatever. So it cuts to Alpha and Zordon in the control center. And he's like, he doesn't say the classic line, teenagers with attitude. He says, I need some humans that are overbearing and over emotional. So then Alpha goes, oh no, teenagers. Now... I don't know if you'd want overbearing and over-emotional people on your team of superheroes, but apparently that's what Zordon wanted. Now, we all know the reason for that could be two things. One being kids look at teenagers and not necessarily college kids or adults at that point. So teenagers is the way to go. Secondly... the Power Rangers is all about developing oneself and getting better character. So even though they don't do it the best all the time, so what better to do that with than teenagers? Once you're in college, people kind of start forming who they are until they're about 25. So your teenage years are much more formative total. So it's kind of good in both respects. Obviously, there's seasons of Power Rangers with adults that are very, very successful, like SPD, and you can consider, I guess, In Space, there'd be adults. But anyway, moving on, they don't do that, you know, that type of stuff anymore. Now I think usually they do, like, teenagers again, but whatever. So Zordon Alpha, I guess, teleports these people to the control center, and it's kind of weird because they don't have the communicators, which is what they use to transport, but they just get transported there magically. But from now on, they need the communicator on them. After this episode, they need the communicator. They can't transport anymore. No more teleporting. Like, just unless they have the communicator. Alpha, they show this terrible, like, super-duper, like, I guess first-person perspective for Alpha. And it's, like, this super-duper pixelated picture. It's, like, terrible. Like, I'm assuming they might have used, like, the first digital camera as a reference to what a robot would see like. And it's not very clear. They kind of start putting in these, like, tropes into these characters that they don't pick up in the later episodes. Probably because they thought that they were a bad idea. Like, so they make Kimberly, like, really, really dumb. And she's, like, making, like, pretending like she's, like, this, like, girly girl that, like, doesn't know anything. And to some extent, that does keep on. But she's not this dumb in the series. Like, they make her really dumb in this series. Like, a typical girly girl that, like, all she cares about is her hair and other things like that. Which I kind of didn't like. And I'm happy that they kind of dropped that later on in the series. Anyway, Zordon's telling them, oh, you're the Power Rangers now. You guys have all these powers. You guys can protect the Earth. And Zack's like, yeah, I don't know about that creepy floating head guy. I think I don't believe you. So he goes, well, look at the viewing globe. So he tries to show him Rita Repulsa and Goldar, like, flying through the air and stuff like that, which is kind of funny just because, like, how do they know that that's real or not? Like, it's still the Earth. They still know that there's TV. There's still fake things in the world. But he's like, but look at my giant globe TV. There's an evil person on it. You guys have to be superheroes now. Anyway, after that, he magically gives them the morphers. That's when I would start believing him. When belts start magically appearing on me and I get magically teleported into a place, I'd be like, okay, this guy could be telling the truth. Or he could be the bad guy. I might go with it, though. You know, who knows? Everyone wants to be a superhero. Anyway, he tells them about their dinosaur power. Although, a saber-toothed tiger is not a dinosaur. And a mastodon is not a dinosaur. But they got dino power. They need dino power, apparently. Obviously, dinosaurs are really, really popular with kids. So, that's probably another reason why they went with dinos. Basically, the four main people are like, nah, we're out of here. But Jason, the leader, he's like, you know, he can tell he has doubts about leaving. He thinks that this might be legit, and he's kind of intrigued. He probably wants to be a hero deep down in his heart. I mean, he does the karate. He's an all-around good guy. It's something he'd be interested in. But, you know, he decides to go with his friends. He walks out with them. And it cuts to Finster being yelled at by Rita, and he's making the putties. If you don't know, the putties are going to be essentially the henchmen for the entire season, the series, if you want to call it the series. I don't know how you want to call Mighty Morphing. It was part of the main series, but it's kind of a sub-series, just like every other season is. It's just really, really long. It's the most popular part of it. Anyway, the putties, the kids are walking around the desert now. Putties pop up, they attack. Billy has this amazing, they don't want to use their morphers yet, but Billy has this awesome moment where the putties are about to attack him, and he's like, wait, I got my glasses on. He takes them off, puts them in his overall pocket. I just thought that was freaking hilarious, just because, like, I don't know, it was like kind of like slapstick. Like, if you think about it in, like, real world, like, why would they wait for him to take his glasses off? But it's so much funnier if they do wait for him to take his glasses off. So they have a little fighting montage. Obviously, unmorphed, they're not going to beat putties. That's not going to happen until later on in the series. And their power levels, their power rankings always fluctuate. The putties are always either really strong or really weak, depending on the situation. But obviously, they lose to the putties. And what they end up doing is Jason gets thrown on top of him, and he's like, we have the morphers. Let's use the morphers. So they stand up, and you get the awesome, amazing morphing sequence where they're all just shouting out their dinosaur. And so they morph for the very, very first time, but then they instantly get transported away from the putties because they morphed. And now they get brought into the city to fight Goldar, and he has an army of putties as well. And these putties in the desert are never to be revisited. At least in this episode, these putties will not be revisited. So they start fighting the putties. Obviously, they're winning. And then Goldar is like, you know, he's like kind of like absent in this fight. Like, you see him running in, but he's not fighting anyone. It's just the putties. They start destroying them. Rita gets upset and he's yelling at everyone. So Squat's like, yo, why don't you just use your magic and make Goldar big? So you get the classic scene where she's throwing her wand down from the moon to Earth, makes Goldar giant, and they're instantly like, oh, we can't do anything against giant. Like, we need Zord power. So call for the dino power. They have this awesome sequence where they're all like really happy about being in the Zords, and they mention how they naturally have a driving ability for them, which is really, really great that they left in there, because it's a kid's show and they could have just easily said like, oh yeah, they know how to drive them. But they kind of mentioned that they instinctually, from morphing, knew how to operate that machinery, which is a really, really nice touch, and might have closed up some plot points or something that someone would be like, oh, it's so stupid, they're driving these giant mechs, like, how do they know how to do that? But anyway, that was really great, and they're all talking about how much they love it. They instantly go for a Megazord. They don't try to fight him individually or anything like that. They instantly go for Megazord. They stay in the tank formation. They shoot him with the cannons a couple times. They shoot him with some lightning or some lasers or something like that. Obviously, it's ineffective against Goldar. So they go battle mode, which is full stand-up mech, almost like a Gundam. So they start fighting with it. And one thing I think is really, really, really amazing with the suits that they use for this, because I've seen a bunch of Godzilla movies and other things like that, and rewatching this series, I never noticed how well they moved in those suits. The people that they got for that must have been like top of the line, because I don't think I've ever seen people move in a suit that well. You know, sometimes when they're in these like suits, like, they, you know, obviously they can barely see and stuff like that, but they're moving so choppily, it's almost robotic. Godzilla, I mean, I think when Godzilla does it, because they want to show his weight and how huge he is, he's really, really slow. He's not very agile, even though he can do a missile drop kick, which is pretty cool. And speaking of missile drop kicks, they turn into battle mode, and just Goldar just comes out with them with a missile drop kick, like, boom. So they get rocked, and they're like, this isn't going well. They're fighting him off. They backhand him. He goes flying, but like no cells. It gets right back up. And they're like, we got to do something, because we are still not doing anything to Goldar. Which I really like, because they put Goldar in the first episode and they fight him a lot. So I really like how strong they make him look. Unfortunately, that is instantly taken away, because they call on the power sword. The second they get the power sword, they don't even get to swing it. Goldar's like, peace out, guys. He transports back, and you see him instantly getting scolded by Rita, and she's like, I can't believe you retreated, and all this stuff, which is, I thought it was a good idea for him to retreat. It does make him look a little weak, but it does save him for later episodes, because if they defeated him in the first, like, straight up defeated him first episode, he didn't retreat, you wouldn't be able to take him seriously for the rest of the series. You'd be like, they already beat this guy up, you know. So it's good that he retreated. Although I wish maybe he would have had a slightly better showing, at least maybe taken on a power sword or fought a little bit with the power sword. But obviously, if they don't have the footage for that, they can't do that. Anyway, that's it for as far as Rita. Cuts back to the command post. They get transported back. You know, everyone's celebrating, they're super duper happy, they're in the plain clothes, and Zordon explains the rules of being a Power Ranger, and that is that you can't use it for personal gain, which would be evil, so obviously no. Never escalate a situation beyond what it needs to be. Like, so if Rita's got out a little guy, just don't go Megazord and squash him. You have to be honorable about this, which I always hindered back to the same principle that they had at the beginning of the episode, where you only use fighting as a last resort and always try to resolve issues with talk, which is what they try to tell a lot to the kids. I think half because they don't want little kids starting to fight each other and their parents not letting them watch the show, and secondly because that's an actual principle of martial arts. It's just meant for self-defense. It's really not meant for attacking people. The third one is you have to maintain a secret identity. You can't tell anyone that you are a Power Ranger, which I understand the thinking behind it, because, you know, if people knew, they'd get treated differently and other things along those lines. But like, Rita knows who the Power Rangers are, so it's not like they have a secret identity to protect their families or anything like that. It's really just to not be famous and stay out of the public eye. But Kimberly makes this terrible joke about how she doesn't want to be a Power Ranger because it's going to mess up her hair and she doesn't want to do that. And then of course she says she's joking, but I'm like, why are you even still instilling those stupid jokes? Stop it. Don't do that to my Kimberly. Anyway, it's a show that aired in the 90s, so of course it needs to end with a freeze frame, like high five, like team thing, and the credits roll. My impressions of the episode are that it was an amazing first episode, really good pilot. I can see why when you were a kid and you're watching the show, you would totally be hooked on it because it was freaking awesome. And rewatching it as an adult, the main thing that's drawing me to the series right now is it's such an easily digestible content. It's not a show that I really have to really think too deeply about. I can just turn it on, I can watch it, I can kill some time. It's a really, really fun show. So if you're thinking about watching it, I definitely recommend it. It's also really, really easy to get. It's on Netflix. You can get the DVD collections. Like, they have like the box sets like this. And they also have this one too. They both like cost the same. But yeah, they have two different DVD sets that you can get. And they're also coming out with a steelbook that has the Hollywood-produced movie, not the not Turbo, but it has Mighty Morphin Power Rangers of the movie on Blu-ray, which is going to be a great release. So if you're thinking about picking those up, Shout Factory is selling those. They're going to be the people putting that out. Just want to throw that news out there. It's really, really cool. So this podcast is going to be probably weekly. If you guys liked it, I'd appreciate you guys subscribing on the YouTube channel, following me on iTunes, on Stitcher, on CastBox, leaving comments, rating, and subscribing. Really going to boost the profile of the show, get it out further, and please come back to me with any advice that you'd have with the show, anything I can change, anything I can make better. This is all temporary. Probably in about a month, 2 months, I'm not going to be at this place anymore, so I have a very, very temporary setup as of right now. Thank you guys for watching, and I will see you guys next time. Bye.